The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter. After his resurrection, Jesus summons his remaining disciples and commissions them to baptize and teach all nations in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I begin reading at verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You never come home on time. You always make me wait. You never clean up after yourself. You're so messy. And you never get the meatloaf right. No one likes me. You never let me finish a sentence. You're always interrupting me. These are words that hurt. They cut into us. They separate us. They divide us. The words are called absolutes. Words such as never, always, every time, no one. Those are words of absolutes. And it's not a good idea to use them because they are so hurtful. And none of us are absolute. None of us are absolutely perfect. None of us are absolutely evil. Even the person who always tends to be late, they're on time sometimes, especially when the motivation is right. Those who are so messy, every once in a while they will pick up something, particularly if they need it. Those who get interrupted constantly, they do get to finish a sentence from time to time. And as for the meatloaf, well, some people are just picky. Absolutes, they just don't work with us. But it is appropriate to use absolutes when we talk about God. As we look at our gospel lesson for today, you'll see that there are a number of absolutes here in the gospel. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Or another one here. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Verse 20. Teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And also in verse 20. I am with you always. God is absolute. God is all knowing. He has all authority. He has all power. He's all seeing. God is absolute. And so today, as we look at this text, we'll be looking at some of these absolutes. So first of all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Jesus has all authority. And we see that in many of the gospel stories about Jesus. For instance, Jesus was able to turn water into wine. It's something that we cannot do because we don't have all authority. But Jesus has all authority. All authority in heaven and earth belong to Christ. Or another story where Jesus is able to walk across water. We don't have that authority, but Jesus has that authority. He has authority over nature. Or Jesus also has authority over illness and injury. And there are many stories where Jesus either healed somebody who was blind or somebody who was lame or somebody with leprosy. Many, many stories where Jesus has the authority even over sickness. And Jesus has the authority over even death. We see that in a story where he says to the little girl, "Arise," and the little girl comes back to life. Or as he stands at that cave and he shouts out, "Lazarus, come out," and the dead man comes out alive. Or in that cross and that resurrection of Jesus Christ himself, after he had been murdered, after he had been condemned to death and hung on that cross and he died, Jesus had all authority, even over death, and he rose to new life, giving us the promise of new life then too. With all that authority, he is able to raise us up as well. Christ has all authority in heaven and on earth. And we look at another one of these absolutes. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. You know, it's tough for us sometimes. I think it just seems that's the way that we are. We are skeptical of people who are different from us. We are suspicious of people who are not like us. And not like us could be male or female. It could be skin color. It could be language. It could be accent of the language that you speak. It could be because they're too short, too tall, or simply because they're not from here. We are suspicious of people who are different from us. But here it says, go to all nations. There should not be any barriers. And that's tough for us to cross. That's tough for us to break down those barriers to think. God loves them too. That they too are created in the image of God. We are called to go to all nations. The church has had a mixed record on this, I guess. Sometimes churches do not go out. They do not have an evangelism program of any sorts. But then churches, too, have done a good job of maybe going through overseas missions, of contributing not only benevolence money, but I know this congregation as well then too makes quilts that goes overseas, or they'll do health kits or school kits or kits of other sorts. And they ship those overseas. And we support missionaries as well too. Not only overseas, but also here in the United States and contribute locally to the Yorktown Assistance Ministry. And many of you do volunteer over there. And so we are called to go and make disciples of all nations, to bring that message to other people. What's kind of neat is next week we have a great opportunity to see the benefits of many, many years of mission work. For many, many years, churches in America and in Europe have been sending missionaries overseas to the third world countries, to South America, Central America, and Africa. Now in those countries, the churches are thriving. In Africa are the two largest Lutheran church bodies in the world. Tanzania is the largest Lutheran church body, and also the church Lutheran Church Makani Yesu in Ethiopia is thriving. And I think they're growing to the tune of like 100,000 people a year in their church bodies. They're just exploding. They know how to do mission. They know how to do ministry. Next week, we get the opportunity to go view the fruits of that result. Some of those Africans have immigrated into the United States, and there is a community of them in Houston. And it's called, and they brought their faith with them, and it's called the Oromo Lutheran Church in Houston. Oromo is the name of their ethnic group or the name of their language. And they are very excited about their faith. And so several members of us are going to Houston next week after we worship here, and we're going to go worship with them in the afternoon. And it'll be a great experience to be filled with the excitement, the joy, and the faith to see of what these people have. And, you know, we've sent the missionaries, we've been the missionaries, but now I think it's turning around. So many people in the United States have lost faith. They do not believe in Jesus Christ. And I think the time has maybe come that it's been reversed. And many of those that have had missionaries sent to them are now sending missionaries to us. A different time, an exciting time, a time that is filled with the Spirit. And so we have that opportunity to go see the fruits of this, what Jesus said, go therefore make disciples of all nations. But then that doesn't stop there. It also continues with us here at home. To go and make disciples means too, just to tell our stories. And everybody has a story to tell about faith, a story of faith. Maybe in your youth, you were not the person that you were meant to be. And you were a little bit wild. But then somewhere along the line, you realize that God has a place for you. And you realized your faith grew strong, or you had a burst of faith, a conversion experience, so to speak. You can tell that story. Or maybe many of us, I know, grew up in Christian homes. And you can tell that story. What did it mean to grow up in a Christian home? What did you learn? Or for some of us, then, we can just tell about our faith. Maybe you went through a miraculous healing, or maybe you knew somebody who went through a miraculous healing. We can tell that story of how God has touched our lives. And each one of us has a different story. Each of us may have many different stories. We simply tell that story and we make disciples of all nations. Another imperative, or another absolute here, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. We are to teach. We are to teach one another. And teaching begins in the home. Parents teach their children. Grandparents can teach their grandchildren. It begins in the home. And many of you, I know, are doing your home devotions. You're reading scripture. You are praying. We keep daily devotional materials in the fellowship hall that you're welcome to pick up. And what's wonderful and what's a problem at the same time is that we run out many times. And it's great and wonderful to know that you are picking these up and you are taking these home and doing home devotions. Because teaching begins at home, and you can teach one another. You're not always a teacher. You're not always a student. I know during the times when I do teach, it tends to be that I also am the one who learned the most. Because as a teacher, you have to know the material. You have to study. You have to do that research to know what's going on. And so you too are called to teach. Every one of us is called to teach. Like I said, you have a story to tell. And in that story, you are also teaching others about Christ. We are called to teach. And one more absolute here. And remember, I am with you always. God doesn't just send us out all by ourselves. He says, He doesn't kick us out and say, go do it. He says, I am with you. I will go with you. I will help you. I will be there as a resource. I will go as a holding your hand. I will be with you always. God doesn't send us on a mission without the tools that we need to accomplish that mission. He says, go, make disciples, teach. And remember, I am with you always. God will be with us as we carry out our mission. You know, God doesn't call us to be successful. He doesn't call us to be successful. What He calls us to do is to be faithful. To be faithful to Him. God doesn't send us out by ourselves. He doesn't send us out with tools. He just calls us to be faithful. To go out and tell that story. To proclaim that gospel of Jesus Christ. When we say, I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. I think we're denying God. We are saying, God, you're not with me. We're saying that, God, you don't want to be with me. When we say, okay, I'll try that, but God, please help. And I know many times I've been there before, too, where I said, God, please help me. Help me. And God is there. God is present. He's in the midst of us. He's around us. He's in us. He's there guiding us. He's there holding our hands through all things. God is absolute. People are not absolute. We're not absolutely perfect. We're not absolutely evil. But God is absolute. And God absolutely will be with us as he sends us out on the Great Commission. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.